Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast, our Sunday night recap. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. This was an injury day like none I can remember in recent history. So to break it all down with me, thankfully, is Pat Fitzmaurice. You can find him on Twitter at Fitz_FF. Fitz, I'm not overstating it. This was nuts, right, in terms of injuries?
Yeah, it was kind of a bad day. There are going to be a lot of reports, I think. A lot of it's ambiguous stuff too, Dan. Like, we're going to have to be following practice reports all week on a lot of these guys. The carnage has begun, unfortunately.
I think I'm just going to start every game by, like, talking about the injuries that happened before that. I'll be like, all right, here's game recap. Here's your six injuries that occurred today. And it was quarterback injuries, like, all day long. There were some I didn't even know about that just came across the wire that I put in the notes, which we'll talk about. I was like, oh, didn't understand. This person seemed to be okay. I guess we have problems. So we will get there. But before we get into the show, let me remind you about our September giveaway. It is a signed Kyler Murray football. You know how to enter by now. Leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest. And a subscription to our YouTube channel gets you 3 times the number of reviews. That's youtube.com/fantasypros. You should be subscribing to YouTube anyway. We just crossed 120,000 subscribers. Okay. All those people cannot be wrong. Seriously, we video all of our podcasts. We have live streams every week. We have live streams on Sunday morning. Woo. And weekly videos. Again, all you got to do is subscribe, youtube.com/fantasypros. That's great. And again, enter our contest. That will get you 3 times the number of entries. All right, Pat, let's start with trust or bust, if that's good with you. Just one name right now, because I realize when we have a full sort of slate of games with no bye weeks, we got to get into it. So just one guy. I hope Yates is listening, because it's Michael Pittman Jr. Huge game here against the Rams. Not a matchup that anybody was targeting. 12 targets, 8 catches, 123 yards. Now, we obviously have the issue with Carson Wentz and whether or not he is going to be healthy going forward, considering he left late in the game with an ankle injury. We'll find out a little bit more tomorrow. But let's assume for the moment that Wentz is okay. Are you trusting Michael Pittman Jr., or is he going to be a bust?
I'm trusting him, as you mentioned, conditionally upon the injury. He is a guy who popped in Matt Harmon's reception perception. I talked about him with Matt in the offseason. He was very high on him, and we like that he's got the size to be this sort of alpha receiver, this guy who can, you know, be the go-to guy for Wentz. And, Pascal is an overachiever, and, Jack Doyle is kind of an overachiever as a catch and fall down and not really make big plays guy at tight end. And those guys are useful for sure, but Pittman is the one guy who looks like he can be a reliable chain mover for this offense. And, as long as Wentz is okay, like I think he's the kind of guy that you do want in your lineup pretty much most weeks, unless there's a really daunting cornerback matchup you want to avoid.
I'm going to have to take a close look at it, and I'm only doing it because I love Yates, because I love Pittman as a talent. I think he's absolutely fantastic. I was fading the entire offense. I mean, not Jonathan Taylor, but the entire pass offense, just because Wentz hadn't had any practice time. Like, without Hilton, the matchup obviously was difficult. He looked fantastic. I mean, this goes, you know, he right out of the gate, right? He caught, I think, the first pass of the game, and then he was just off to the races. This was fantastic. We obviously do have to monitor Wentz. I'm a little worried. You know, it's when you already have the, well, we don't know. He has to get tests tomorrow. We'll reevaluate. I'm already, you know, concerned. It was his right ankle, I believe. And I think his foot that he injured was his left foot. So there's at least that it doesn't appear to be related. But obviously, we are going to have to check in on that. Now, as you know, Pat, from last week and from being an avid listener of the show with me and Tags, we usually do What's Your Problem, Man? But the more I thought about it, Pat, and listening back to it last time, I feel like that's something that I'll keep for Tags when Tags comes back. So I would like to do the same concept. So I am, while you are here, Pat, I'm going to call this, I'm confused by your opinion, sir. So that's going to be what we're going to call this. And I'm confused by your opinion, sir, on Nick Chubb. So I'm looking at our rest of season rankings. That's also what I used to do with Tags. And I just compare ours and I see some differences, and I want you to explain yourself, and I don't ever explain myself because I'm the host. I get to do what I want in that. But you had Nick Chubb rest of season in half PPR rankings, 12th at running back. I had him 6th. That's a pretty significant difference when you're talking about guys at the top. Obviously, nice game today against the Texans, 11 for 95 with a touchdown plus one catch for 3. So you had him behind Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson, and Austin Eckler coming into the week. Is he still going to be behind those guys, or do you think you're going to move him up?
I'm probably going to tick him up maybe just a little, but he's probably still not going to be in the top 9, I would say. So I guess my issue with him, Dan, and, you know, as far as issues, it's a relatively small one because he isn't a running back one. There's no question. The fact that he does share with Kareem Hunt, the fact that he's not a prolific pass catcher, the fact that he's maybe a little more game script dependent than some of the other RB1s. That's kind of it on talent alone. As a pure runner, he is a top 3, top 5 guy. I mean, who else is with a McCaffrey, Cook, Derrick Henry? That's about it. Like, those are the only guys in his league. He's amazing, but Kareem Hunt steals touches. And even today, when Chubb had a really nice game, he had one catch. So if you play in PPR formats, half PPR formats, you take a little bit of a hit there. So that's why he's outside my top 10.
I think for me, it's just that I don't even know, Pat, if he's necessarily game script dependent, because I feel like, you know, it's going to be rare. Look, the Browns, I mean, think about what they're dealing with right now in their receiving core, right? Because you have Odell Beckham Jr., who again didn't play in this game, as we knew going in. You had Jarvis Landry leave right off the bat with a knee injury. I think they're going to desperately, unless we're talking like 21 points behind or something like that, I think they're going to continue to pound the rock. Now, you're right. I mean, he only had 11 carries in this game, and he does not factor into the passing game. But given the efficiency that he is in there, I just feel a little safer with him going into it. But that, I think that's fair. You made your point. And again, it was obviously, I assume you ranked him higher than 12th this week against the Texans. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Then that's fair.
Yeah, I don't remember what he was, but I think he was like 5 or 6. And yeah, you know, I had him in some DraftKings lineups. Like, it was definitely a good week for him.
All right. Second guy in what am I calling this now? I am confused by your opinion, sir. Is Derek Carr, who again is not a guy that anybody out there is starting in single quarterback leagues, although maybe we should think about it. I don't know. 28 for 37 for 382 yards, 2 touchdowns. You had him 24th rest of season, which sounds right in a vacuum. I had him 19th. This is 2 good games right now. He was behind in your rankings, Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan. Are you buying what he is selling so far this season?
I am, Dan. Guilty as charged. I am going to be moving him up. I think we have to stop considering him as a lower end quarterback two and start thinking of him as more of a high end quarterback two, because now he does have 2 legitimate receivers. They're not stars, but Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards are showing that they are quality pass catchers, viable enough pass catchers, coupled with Darren Waller. Enough weaponry for Carr. And he is just, some of the throws he makes, like he made one today where it was like, I think it fell incomplete, but he threw this touch pass, like it was in the only possible place where he could put it without it getting picked off or something, give his guy a chance to make a play on the ball. The defender was in tight coverage and tipped it away. But like, it was just that incompletion spoke volumes, I think, about the kind of football that Carr is playing right now. And geez, if we want to talk about positive stats, I mean, he's averaging what, Dan, like 400 yards a game right now through two games. So it's looked really good with him so far. And I think we have to reassess.
And the best thing is, again, this is against Baltimore, who obviously has a ton of injuries, but it's not like they're a pushover defense, and Pittsburgh, right? Yes. And it's also not as if Pittsburgh, now they were down Josh Jacobs today, but I just think this is a change in the way they're looking at their offense. I think they're leaning into what they know and what they do best. And what they do best is not, you know, with a subpar offensive line, it's not pound Josh Jacobs into the line anymore. And certainly not today. We saw, I mean, Peyton Barber and Kenyon Drake got their carries, but their offense looks much better when they're going through the pass. And I think they are going to continue that going forward. So certainly in a super flex league or a two quarterback league, I mean, I think you've struck gold here with Carr. I think, frankly, I think we're in agreement really as what we're going to expect going forward. I think I'll probably move him even higher than 19th going forward, because again, we're talking about guys like Jameis Winston, who we'll talk about in a minute, who just looks like very old Jameis Winston at this point with zero weapons. So I do expect him to move up, but let's talk about that game. Let's get right into it here. Raiders 26, Steelers 17. Again, let's hit the injuries right up front. As we said, TJ Watt misses most of the game with a groin injury. Deontay Johnson plays the entire game, but gets injured on that meaningless last play. I'm not sure exactly how bad this is. We'll monitor it, but you know, he was sort of getting helped off the field. So let's see, but let's start with the Raiders. Again, no Josh Jacobs here. Peyton Barber, of course, 13 carries for 32 yards. Kenyon Drake only gains 9 yards on 7 carries, but he does have 6 targets, catches 5 of them for 46 yards through the air. They got Miami next here, Pat. Let's assume Jacobs is out for this game. Where do you expect, roughly speaking, that you will rank both Barber and Drake?
Drake probably in lower end running back 2 range. There is a floor there, I think, because of the pass catching ability. So we like that. You know, just with this Raider offensive line being okay, it's okay enough to keep the pass rush off Carr to a reasonable degree, but it's not really going to bully anyone in the running game. So modest expectations there. But I do think the volume and the passing role float his value a little bit. And Barber, not too high. I mean, a desperation play in 16 team leagues where you're dealing with injury problems, you know, just low on limited breakaway potential, limited volume potential with Drake in the picture. I mean, there's just not a lot here.
Yeah. And who knows? I mean, there may be a lot of carries in that game if indeed Tua, who we'll get to in a bit, is out, which I think I'd expect at this point, given that he was declared out early with that rib injury. It may be a very positive game script, in which case they may lean on the run towards the end, but we'll have to see. Regardless, we talked about how good Derek Carr was, and he throws the 2 touchdown passes. One goes to Foster Moreau, the other goes to Henry Ruggs. 8 targets, 5 catches, 113 yards and a touchdown. I still don't think that they have to throw it deep every single time. I think that you could throw a short pass to him and he could take it to the house, but they like to go deep. That's fine. Hunter Renfrow, also a nice game here. 5 catches for 57 yards. Brian Edwards catches all 3 of his targets for 40 yards. So just talk to me about your interest in these Las Vegas wide receivers.
I think they're worthy additions if people run into injury problems at wide receiver, which I think some people are going to be running into this week. So Ruggs gives you that big play potential. You know, I don't know which guy, honestly, Dan. I mean, do you have an opinion on this? Which guy would you rather have? Ruggs for the big play potential, or do you think Edwards is maybe more the reliable, safer floor possession guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's really tough because I don't want to rely on any of these guys in the short term, like regardless. And again, they get Miami. Sure. That's not a, you know, a secondary that you want to really attack. I'm trying to see who I had highest right now, because I kind of had come around to Edwards a little bit, and I was a little bit off Ruggs coming in. And I don't know about you, Pat, like I tried very hard to distance myself. It's a fault of mine as a fantasy manager, as a fantasy analyst, that I've talked about many times, which is I hold on to my preseason evaluations too strongly. Like, I need to learn to sort of move off that. So, I mean, I think for me, all 3 guys are kind of in the same range. I'm actually looking for them in the rest of the season rankings. I don't even see them. So I think they're probably in like the posts. I cut us off at 80, Pat, when I compare our rankings. So they were all like red for us. Oh, that Brian Edwards is at 62. Yeah, Ruggs. So, I mean, I think realistically, just I'll take the guy who had the biggest game most recently, and that would probably be Ruggs. But to me, they're all around the same range. Is that fair to say?
I think so. And, okay. You know, these guys are not like guys you want to rush in your starting lineup. Regardless, they're not unconditional starters, but we are coming up on bye season and injury season. So guys who are in the 60s for our overall rankings at wide receiver are suddenly going to be pushed up into the need to start them range in a couple of weeks. So you feel better about it, the way the Raiders offense is functioning, and they are going to have easier matchups than they've had these weeks.
Absolutely. And Darren Waller, 5 for 65, quote unquote disappointing for Waller, but fantastic for a normal tight end. For the Steelers, mentioned the Deontay Johnson injury, but he just had his usual 12 targets 9 catches 105 yards. He is just, you know, keep him in your lineup, don't even sweat it. Najee Harris, meanwhile, 5 targets 5 catches 43 yards with the touchdown, so that is great. But just 10 for 38 on the ground. Another poor day here rushing. They've got Cincinnati next. Just generally speaking, how are you feeling about Najee Harris right now?
I'm encouraged that he is scraping by with some tough situations right now with his offensive line struggling. He's today he did it in the passing game. So I'm not feeling good about him being a prolific rusher with this offensive line struggling the way it has. It's just a bad group. But with the massive workload share and the usage in the passing game, like, that gives him outs, as they would say in poker. Like, he's got ways to survive some of the things working against him, mainly that bad blocking and, you know, sort of the deterioration of Ben Roethlisberger. Not feeling great about him. Maybe he's more like the high end running back 2 than the, you know, running back 1 we thought he'd be, but I don't think you're totally disgusted with him right now. Like, it's not his fault. It's the, the Robin Williams speech. And
that's right. Yeah, it's not your fault. Exactly. We're hugging him. We're letting him know it's not his fault. Yeah, no, look, I agree with that. I'm certainly, I mean, first of all, there's very little you can do about this anyway. I mean, you can trade him if you want, because he wouldn't necessarily be selling low because he had a good game here. But realistically, I think this is just, you're going to get the production from him because of the volume. The volume is going to cure a lot of the ills that sort of we see right now with the offensive line, with his yards per carry. So I think he's fine. I think he's going to remain sort of a low end RB1. I think the huge ceiling that most fantasy managers saw coming into the year, given just his talent, given the lack of production that was waiting to take any running back carries behind him, I think that's probably not in the cards right now, just because that line is so bad. But I do think that the volume, and especially, as you said, his work in the passing game, is really going to make up for it. Let's just very briefly talk about the other receivers. Chase Claypool does get 9 targets. That's great. Just 3 catches, though. 70 yards through the area, that big 52-yard catch. Juju Smith-Schuster, meanwhile, 7 targets, 6 catches, 41 yards. He does find the end zone in what was classified as a run. Any thoughts on the non-Deontay Johnson wideouts?
Yeah, the low average depth of target for Juju, I mean, is actually helping to keep him relevant, I think, just because this passing game is so dysfunctional, because there's no time for Ben Roethlisberger to throw. I feel kind of bad for Ben. Like I said a second ago, the deterioration of him, but like, he's just getting overrun right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't blame him being not far from retirement for not wanting to stand in and take kill shots back there. So, yeah, like, it's a good thing that Juju is maybe his outlet, and that's keeping him certainly PPR relevant like he was today. And then, you know, Claypool, he's so talented. I mean, the big plays are going to come, but it's just going to be sporadic, and we're not going to be entirely sure when they're going to come. So, you know, last week he had a tough matchup against Tre'Davious White and still did okay. And today, in a day where, like, Ben was just – having no time to throw whatsoever, a lot of targets, you know, still has a decent enough game. So, man, I love the guy. I think he's going to be a star, but right now this is not the best set of circumstances he will ever deal with in his career.
Yeah. I think the only guy who you start confidently every week is Deontay Johnson, but I still think that both Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster are starts most weeks, right? Like, because that's just what it is. Right. Sure. You're not going to feel great about them. Okay. They're going to be wide receiver 3s basically, but you're going to be putting them in your lineup every time. Every once in a while, they'll pop. And again, even on a day like today, I mean, Juju scored the touchdown, Claypool 70 yards and 3 catches. I mean, you'll definitely live with that any day of the week, but Yeah, it's tough to watch sometimes. I agree. Hopefully, and we'll see, by the way, if Deontay Johnson's injury is actually something that could keep him out next week against Cincinnati. Before we get to the next game, we talked about Derek Carr a couple of times and how many yards he threw for. You could have had a huge day and won a lot of money if you had taken the over and you had played on Prize Picks. All you got to do on Prize Picks, guys, it's basically if you feel like you've got your fantasy game down, if you feel like you know what a player is going to do on any given day in any sport, really, you can make some serious cash. Pick 2 to 5 players at Prize Picks, right? All you got to do is decide if they're going to go over or under their stat projections. You can do pretty much any stat you want. I mean, you can go passing yards, you can go receiving yards, you can go touchdowns, you can do fantasy points if you want to do it. And the more players you pick, the more money you're able to win. You can win up to 10 times the amount that you're willing to risk. You can also do multiple sports. You know, we are going to have basketball starting up pretty soon. You can do basketball and football, whatever you want to do, really, the way it is. You can make all your entries less than a minute. It's check it out on the App Store, by the way, Prize Picks, 4.8 rating on the App Store. You take your game to a new level with Prize Picks daily, fantasy simplified. Use our promo code, by the way, it's Gridiron, okay? Gridiron to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that is promo code Gridiron to receive a 100% deposit match for up to $100 over at Prize Picks. All right, Pat, let's get to the next game, and it's 49ers 17, Eagles 11. If you would like to really experience what a true, like, wide range of emotions feels like, then what you need to do is you need to recommend to pretty much everybody who asks you on your Instagram live to start Elijah Mitchell, watch him do basically nothing the entire game, watch him score a touchdown, watch them take that touchdown back, and then watch him leave with a shoulder injury. That was a quite a 10 minutes for me as I was watching that game. Anyway, he does come back in and they think it's probably a stinger, and every running back on that team got injured. But Mitchell, 17 for 42 on the ground, plus 2 for 11 through the air. I mean, you got 19 touches. If you knew that going in, you would have been absolutely thrilled. Meanwhile, Jamichael Hasty, who comes in, 5 for 38 on the ground, plus 5 targets, 4 catches for 21 yards through the air. But he bangs up his ankle and he leaves. We'll have to check on that. Trey Sermon, who is basically just buried, finally comes in because they basically have nowhere else to go. He gets kind of maybe a dirty hit, whatever type of hit. You got a hard hit in the concussion protocol, out after one carry. Look, they've got the Packers next. Pat, you are well aware that that is a run defense that you can exploit. I mean, let's assume all three of them are healthy, okay? All three of them are ready to go. You think you're going to recommend any of them as a start next week?
Mitchell. Like, to me, this sort of cemented his status as the number one guy there. The volume that he got. Now, I don't think he looked terrible. Like, the Philadelphia defense was playing reasonably well in this game. And it, like, I don't think Mitchell was making bad choices about, setting up his blocks, where to run. Like, I thought he was okay in this game, even though the stats don't really show it. And relative to Sermon, the one fumble, the injury, like, yeah, I mean, things are really bad for Sermon. It's hard to see him. A lot of people, as you know, Dan, were optimistic this week that, like, Sermon was still going to be the guy. Like, I saw some Twitter polls where it was like 50-50 who was going to have more rest of season value, maybe even a little edge to Sermon. And now I don't think there's any question about who we're betting on, right?
Well, for rest of season value, I will be honest, when I updated them, they were very close, because I do think if you're talking right now, what do I think is going to be by the time we get to the end of the season? I did think coming into this week, like, okay, by the end of the season, I bet Sermon midway through kind of finally gets the trust, maybe takes over with Mostert completely out. Now I mean, this is just ridiculous. You know, they really didn't want to give him the ball if they could have avoided it whatsoever. So yeah, I'm with you. And it was disappointing in the end, his numbers. But I mean, again, that usage, you have to love that usage for Mitchell, those amount of opportunities. And you're right. And yeah, he didn't go crazy. And yes, Hasty happened to look better when he was in the game. But for me, I'm with you. I feel good. And again, of all the injuries that they're dealing with, it does sound like they're most optimistic on Mitchell, who again came back in the game after the injury. So hopefully that works well. Meanwhile, Deebo Samuel, 8 targets, 6 catches, 93 yards. He also adds 8 yards rushing. Brandon Ayuk plays, just 2 targets, 1 catch for 6 yards. So do you think that this is what things are going to look like rest of season? It's all Deebo and Ayuk is an afterthought?
Boy, it's another situation, Dan, where I think we just have to kind of take it at face value. And it's amazing, because just 2 weeks ago, there were still fantasy drafts going on, and there were still people aggressively drafting Brandon Ayuk and Trey Sermon. And there are going to be a lot of people walking away, just getting up from the table and walking away from those guys this week. And I can't blame them. You know, it just doesn't look bright. Ayuk is deep in the doghouse for whatever reason. And I mean, it's Dante Pettis. Like, I hate to bring up that name, but it is looking like a Dante Pettis situation here, which is unfortunate because we thought we liked Dante Pettis at first. Right. There were flashes, but I don't know. I think Brandon Ayuk's going to be better than that. But right now, it's hard to see him becoming playable for fantasy anytime soon.
Yeah, there were still people asking if they should start Ayuk this week. And I was like, what? No, like, I want to roster him everywhere, but there's no way I want to get anywhere near starting him whatsoever, nor for the foreseeable future. George Kittle, just 4 catches for 15 yards. Don't drop him. Everything will be fine. Calm down, everyone. Okay, for the Eagles, Brandon Graham, by the way, unfortunately tore his Achilles. He is out for the season. This game, Pat, illustrates why I basically pounded the desk for Jalen Hurts coming into the year. He was terrible, 12 for 23, 190 yards. He did have the touchdown called back, but just his passing numbers do absolutely nothing for you. But 10 for 82 and a touchdown on the ground, that just kind of saves the day. And I think that that's always going to save the day. I think it's always going to be there. Miles Sanders, though, 13 for 55, plus 2 targets, 1 catch for 4 yards. What are your thoughts on Sanders here? Kind of a disappointing day after a bigger day last week.
Still generally favorable. I think he's a higher end running back too. And I just think because of the way this offense works, that Hurts' threat as a runner is going to widen lanes for Sanders. Yeah. And he's got pass catching ability. You know, he's had yips at times as far as catching the ball, but for the most part, like, that is in his skill set. So even though we're going to see that Gainwell is used more and more, like, Gainwell looks pretty good. So it is going to be a 2-man backfield, but I think Sanders is still going to get, you know, a 60% share of it at least. And still a guy, you know, not an anchor back, not a true anchor back, but as you're running back too, I think you're satisfied.
Quez Watkins is the only receiver who does anything. 2 catches for 117 yards. No other receiver had more than 24 yards. That was Dallas Goedert. Any concerns about Devontae Smith? Gets the 7 targets, just 2 catches, 16 yards.
No, I mean, he looked so good that first game. I think I'm not too worried about it. It was just kind of a weird game, a little bit of an ugly game. I'm not worried about it. And he actually laid a really nice block on someone near the goal line on I can't remember if that was a Hurts keeper run, but like, little 170-pound Devonta Smith just like moved it, a big linebacker, out of the way. And I was pretty impressed by that. So, no, I think he's going to be fine. And the one wide receiver you can count on, those 90-yard splash plays for Quez Watkins aren't going to happen every week. So, but yeah, as you said, Dan, I mean, like, Jalen Hurts, like, had his game just on the rushing alone. Sometimes the passing he gets is just sort of gravy. And there was a lot of gravy on that Quez Watkins play. So,
yeah, that's going to be one of the longest plays to not score a touchdown, really. Yes. That's what's hilarious about it, right? All right, let's go to the Browns 31, Texans 21. Your injuries for this game include Jarvis Landry, who I mentioned earlier, who left very early after one catch with a knee injury and was declared out. We don't know the severity of it. And Tyrod Taylor, who had played really well, actually, in the game. He leaves with a hamstring injury. He has basically already, according to Ian Rappaport, been ruled out for their Thursday night game against Carolina. So just take that into account when we talk about them. But let's start with the Browns. Baker Mayfield also, by the way, left very briefly with an injury, but he was fine. Played very well, 19 for 21, 213 yards, 1 touchdown and a pick. He also rushes for a touchdown. But let's talk about Kareem Hunt. We talked about Nick Chubb already. Kareem Hunt is a thorn in the side of Nick Chubb managers, but I said this on the Kickoff Pat, my solo podcast that I do earlier in the week, as to why I was fading him a little bit. I eventually kind of came around to him a little bit more. I still faded him a tiny bit, but he doesn't go over 65 yards, Pat, like that total yards. Like, he just doesn't. He needs a touchdown. And when he doesn't get a touchdown, he's probably going to disappoint. Thought he might get one here. He doesn't. 13 carries, 51 yards, just 1 catch for 12 yards through the air. I mean, Andy Janovich got the touchdown. So what are your thoughts generally on Kareem Hunt rest of season?
Even though he doesn't have those big splash yardage games very often, he is generally in the minimum 30 to 40 range, sometimes creeping up closer to 60, 70. And I think coming into today, he'd scored a touchdown in 12 of his last 14 games, or maybe it was 12 touchdowns in his last 14 games. So like a very reliable touchdown producer, actually. So, you know, he was in the running back three range for me in draft season. Like that's where he fell, running back 27 or so. And I kind of think that's still his value, basically. So, when the buys and injuries mount, he's usually in your lineup. Maybe in week one, you can afford not to play him. But for the most part, you know, once we get into the season and attrition starts to hit, I think Hunt is more often than not going to find his way into your starting lineup.
I think so, too. It's just frustrating for me, like, because I feel like there could be so much more. And there isn't. By the way, I am going to put up a comment right here. Again, we're live on our YouTube channel from Grant Ralston, who says that he's pretty sure I'm wearing a Snuggie. You should go again, youtube.com/FantasyBros. First of all, I do wear Snuggies. I don't apologize for it. I'll do, you know, I'm just, this is what I am, guys. You guys know what I am. This is actually a giant hooded sweatshirt. I am into hooded sweatshirt land. By the way, I live in New England. We're rapidly approaching it. So you will only see me in t-shirts with long sleeve shirts underneath them going forward. Or hooded sweatshirts. I apologize in advance. Okay, let's talk about the Texans very briefly. Brandon Cooks, who I liked a lot, Pat, coming into this draft season. I felt like nobody wanted him because he was a Texan, but he always produces. He does again here, 13 targets, 9 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. But what do we do now because we've got Davis Mills starting here on Thursday night? Can you start? I mean, where do you expect to rank Brandon Cooks next week with that, with him starting?
The 30s somewhere, probably the high 30s at wide receiver. And you know, he produces in adverse circumstances. He's good at that sort of thing. And, you know, I thought Tyrod Taylor was pretty adverse circumstances. And so I can't drop him too far. I mean, he probably would have been wide receiver 30, wide receiver 29, if it was Tyrod playing in this game Thursday night. And it's going to be wide receiver 37 or 38. So like he can still, depending on your situation, you may still very well want him in your lineup.
Okay. I mean, look, my guess is I will rank him, like you're saying, as a borderline wide receiver three, because I think he's done enough and he will get all the targets. So it's, you know, they've got to go somewhere. And, you know, Mills wasn't good, but he did, you know, 8 for 18, 102 yards. He threw a touchdown. So, you know, whatever. But man, I mean, Brandon Cooks, good for you. You were really getting it done. I hope it can continue, but it certainly takes a little bit of a hit. Meanwhile, Mark Ingram, again, 14 carries for 41 yards. Philip Lindsay, again, finds the end zone. 1 catch for 22 yards with the touchdown. 5 carries for 2 yards on the ground. Are you starting any Texans running back at all going forward?
No. Sure. And they've been, Ingram has benefited from pretty positive game script. We saw very positive game script in week one. This week, I think it was a tie at halftime and they were in the game pretty much the whole way, but I don't know if we can count on that from the Texans. I don't know if we're going to see it Thursday with Davis Mills at quarterback. So no.
Yes, that's the correct answer. Never start a Texans running back. All right. Before we get to the next game, Pat, you and I are both parents and we talk about our sons who are in a fantasy league together and in the Fantasy Pros. I don't know about you, but since I've become a parent, especially I look back on certain decisions that my parents made that really didn't seem like they made much sense back then, but right now they make a little bit more sense. Like my father loved sweets, Pat. Like our house had donuts and cookies and like nonstop stuff. And yet my mom would never let us have sugary cereal. This is not a joke. Never, ever. Like we had to have Cheerios or we had to have Special K. It's why I love Special K now, which I've talked about many times as well. My sister and I would get like to sleep over at a friend's house and we would get the sugary cereal. It was like Christmas morning. Like it was like the best day ever. And now, as a parent, I didn't understand that. I was like, why desserts and why this? I do get that now because my kids like eat enough junk. I need to draw a line somewhere. That line may be arbitrary, but that's a line that I also have drawn as a parent. But then my kids don't ever want cereal because it doesn't taste good enough. And I wind up making them like breakfast with little shapes and all this nonsense that the only way they eat it. But now, finally, we are okay. We're able to do it because we have Magic Spoon cereal and it has saved the day. First of all, it's delicious. The classic flavors, my kids always liked. I did too. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, blueberry. Then they added peanut butter and cinnamon, which were delicious. And then they brought, for a limited time, it is now back for good, cookies and cream and maple waffles. So the kids are basically like, feel like they're eating dessert for breakfast. So I get no arguments. But the thing is, it's not dessert because it's actually really healthy. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, only 140 calories per serving. It is keto friendly. It is gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low carb, and is backed by their 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it, they're going to refund your money. Just go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros to grab a custom bundle of cereal. Try it today. Be sure to use our promo code fantasypros at checkout to save $5 off your order. And I'm telling you, I have a lot of people who have used this and checked it out and love Magic Spoon, and their kids do too. So really, go ahead and check it out. I promise you will not regret it. All right, let's get to the Broncos 23 and the Jaguars 13. Your injury today turns out to be Laviska Shenault, who apparently injured his shoulder and is set for an MRI on Monday. So be wary of that. He had a pretty remarkably, bizarrely terrible game. 7 targets, 2 catches with -3 yards. So not a game line you see very often. But let's start with the Broncos. Cortland Sutton, monstrous game. 12 targets, 9 catches, 159 yards. Is he fully now, Pat, in the circle of trust?
I think he is, Dan. Early on in that game, there were some connection problems with he and Teddy Bridgewater, and then it looked like he got hurt on a play early on, but he turned out to be okay. He turned out to be very okay, because from that point on, he just kind of took the game over. So I was worried that this was going to be maybe sort of a group pass catching effort with Sutton and Patrick and Fant and Hamler, and we wouldn't be able to trust anyone. But I think Sutton sort of stamped his he has some alpha cred after today, and yeah. That's nice to see. I think now he's a guy you're going to be starting confidently.
Yeah,
from this point on.
Yeah, makes me really happy because I loved Sutton coming into the year, and I saw him in that final preseason game and I was like, fine, he's good. He's good to go. And then you saw this first game where he barely got targeted. You didn't really know whether or not he had some issues. So this was fantastic to see. But you mentioned him, Patrick, one of our favorites as well. He does find the end zone, only 37 yards. So does Noah Fant. 6 targets, 4 catches, 33 yards in the touchdown. So that's all good. Now, the answer to which Denver running back you should have been starting was whatever. I mean, Melvin Gordon, 15 touches for 69 yards and 58% of the snaps. Javonte Williams, 14 touches for 74 yards, 42% of the snaps. Are both startable next week against the Jets, Pat?
Yes. And they were both startable this week with the favorable game script against the Jaguars, and they both did okay. And it's interesting. They are keeping it pretty close to 50-50. I think it was exactly a 50-50 snap share in week one. Now they're still pretty close to each other, yep. Maybe a little veteran deference to Gordon, but for the most part, yes, this is good. You can play both of them as long as the matchups are right. It's going to be trickier, though, when the matchups start to get tougher.
And that happens basically after next week against the Jets, yes. Where they are against Baltimore and then Pittsburgh. So, you know, for now, though, enjoy it, and definitely against the Jets. I agree with you as well. For the Jaguars, James Robinson reclaims the starting role, 11 for 47 on the ground, catches all three of his targets for 17 yards through the air, 72% of the snaps. Carlos Hyde gets just 2 touches. Are you starting Robinson next week against the Cardinals?
I am, and this was a change. I feel like Urban Meyer kind of threw a head fake on me with the Carlos Hyde usage last week, and I did not have James Robinson ranked highly enough this week. And, you know, it was nice to see, though. I think that's what we wanted and what we thought should be the case. So something closer to the way he was being used last year.
Yeah. And again, Arizona, Cincinnati, Tennessee, it's not the worst matchups here, especially if Robinson's going to get a lot of the work in there. So I agree. I was with you, Pat. I talked about it also on the kickoff where I was like, I don't understand expert consensus rankings. They had him 27th. I said, this makes no sense to me. So I still faded him. I mean, it's not like it killed you or anything like that. It's not like he went nuts, but still, it was good to see what should happen in this game. Meanwhile, Trevor Lawrence throws for just 118 yards, 2 picks. He does throw a touchdown early to Marvin Jones. Beautiful throw. 11 targets, 6 catches, 55 yards, and the touchdown. DJ Chark, just 4 targets, just a catch for 19 yards. And again, we talked about Laviska Shenault, who now is injured, but had a poor game. So, I mean, rank the Jaguars wide receivers rest of season for me, Pat, assuming that Shenault is healthy.
I'm going to say Chark, Jones, Shenault. And yep. That pains me because I'm a big Visca guy, but I hate the usage. I hate these you know, this 2 yard average depth of target thing, this gadgety near the line of scrimmage, like it's just bad news. And you've got these two vertical receivers otherwise. And like, I think, you know, Marvin's always been underrated and Chark is a unique talent, but right now, Dan, I mean, this passing offense is just not working. And nope. Like, I can't put the blame on Trevor Lawrence. Like, it just, the design of it doesn't look great to me. I mean, there's just something wrong here. And it pains me because I think everyone, all of these receivers had their supporters in the offseason. There were, you know, Visca camps, there were Marvin Jones is underrated camps, there were still Chark people. So right now it's just tough to have confidence in any of them.
Yeah, I feel like we do projections, and I don't know if you do, I assume you do, but even if not, I always am like, I tease Yates that I feel like Yates is always at the 100th percentile outcome of like whatever the projected outcome could be. He's always like, this is going to happen. And it's the best thing. I feel like the Jaguars right now under Urban Meyer are at the 0% projection. Yes. Like there was a range of outcomes that could have happened right now and what the Jaguars could have looked like. They're at the worst possible thing you can imagine. Because again, you mentioned there are pieces here that could be usable fantasy commodities right now. And it's just getting killed right now because of what they're doing with that team. So I agree with you on the order right now. I mean, I feel like I might be able to get by with starting Chark as like a, you know, a flex play, maybe Marvin Jones as well. But with, you know, Laviska Shenault, it's just terrible. And again, I thought with the ETN injury, it would open up sort of, you know, all yes. the things that we thought could happen. It just doesn't look like it. Anyway, monitor shoulder injury. But regardless, let's go to the Panthers 26, Saints 7. Sam Darnold throws for 305 yards and 2 scores, 1 to Brandon Zylstra, of course, right off the bat. But the other to DJ Moore, 11 targets, 8 catches, 79 yards, and a touchdown. It's always great when he finally finds the end zone. CMC, great game, 29 touches, 137 yards, 2 scores. But how about Robbie Anderson here? The targets are there more so than they were last week. 6 targets, just 3 catches, 38 yards. So these are, you know, he caught the touchdown in game one, but wasn't a great game overall. This isn't a great game. Are you concerned right now with Robbie Anderson?
I am, because I think DJ Moore is the guy here. Like he is the guy. And the way that Robbie was being used last year was surprisingly, since he had always been a vertical guy with the Jets, was on shorter routes last year. He was kind of the possession guy. They used him that way after Christian McCaffrey got hurt. Christian McCaffrey's back now. I feel like there's basically trying to figure out how to work Robbie into this offense. But like when DJ Moore is this good and Christian McCaffrey is seeing his 9 targets a week, like there's just not a big role left for him, unfortunately. Yep. So yeah, I think he's like a low end wide receiver 3 at best right now.
Completely agree. I'm very concerned about what we're going to see. Now it's Houston next week. Let's see if that cures some of the ills, but yeah, I agree with you. This is not a guy right now that I want to target, and I'm going to move him again down in my rest of season rankings. For the Saints, I wonder what the odds were on a prop bet of Alvin Kamara will be healthy the entire game, and he will be the 4th leading rusher on his own team. Jameis Winston, 19 yards rushing. Taysom Hill, 16 yards rushing. Tony Jones, 7 yards rushing. Alvin Kamara, 8 carries for 5 yards. He adds 4 catches for 25 yards, so yay through the air. I mean, long-term concerns here with Alvin Kamara, given what the Saints offense has looked like these first 2 weeks.
I think we're going to see a downturn in his reception totals. We're not going to see 81 catches again. I think that was his total, what, 3 straight years. Mm-hmm. He's not hitting that this year with no Drew Brees. You know, we like seeing it. Winston win that job instead of Taysom Hill, because we saw the targets dry up last year with Taysom Hill. You know, they haven't completely dried up, but they're withering a little bit compared to where they were in the Drew Brees era. So really weird game, though. Like, I don't know quite where to be on this offense. And we saw them look sharp and just efficient. They didn't need to produce a lot of yards just because they were in good field position. They cashed in right away against the Packers last week. And today we saw them struggle against a Panthers defense that suddenly is one that maybe you should try to roster, that is maybe a matchup you want to start factoring into your start sit decisions. Cause like the Panthers have been fantastic so far. I mean, they really bring a lot of heat up front. They're hard to run on. They're pretty decent in the back end. You know, and it's not a lot of star power, but this is a really good unit and they've got a lot of talent there. But, you know, of course, Dan, I mean, the NFL is so predictable. Who couldn't have seen that Aaron Rodgers was going to have like the worst start of his career last week, and then Sam Darnold would pick his teeth with the New Orleans defense?
Football is dumb sometimes. Well, with the offense, with the Saints offense, Marquez Callaway, another terrible game, 2 for 8. Is there any reason to roster anybody but Alvin Kamara on this team?
No, probably not. Maybe if, I mean, we're so desperate at tight end, and like Juwan Johnson, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what the snaps and routes look like from this week. I haven't seen that yet, but probably not. I mean, it's just, I had hope for Callaway because last week he was up against Jair Alexander, who's a great cover man. And then for him to just get skunked a second straight week was not good.
Well, that was a very nice way of saying what I think the answer is, which is no. I am not rostering anybody other than Alvin Kamara. I understand, you know, anybody with a pulse who plays a tight end position could be worthwhile, but I'd rather look somewhere else right now because this looks ugly. Let's get to the Rams 27, Colts 24. Your injuries on the day include Daryl Henderson, who looked real good, did score a touchdown, but left with a rib injury. I do not know the severity yet. Carson Wentz, we talked about, left with an ankle injury. Don't know the severity yet. And apparently Matthew Stafford banged his thumb again, but he was okay and he played through it. So hopefully that is nothing. But start with the Rams. Henderson was very good, 13 for 53 on the ground with the touchdown, 3 catches, 29 yards through the air. Sonny Michel relieves him and looks good, 10 carries, 46 yards. So it's a tough matchup with the Bucs. I mean, that's the worst matchup really you can ask for. But if Henderson is out, where do you think Michel's going to go next week?
Probably mid to back end running back 2.
Yep.
Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it does. It's tough. It's a tough matchup. It's going to be one that I'm going to have to hold my nose at. But I mean, even Mike Davis didn't absolutely kill you this week, right? You know, you can find production, right? Even against the Bucs.
Yeah. You just have to like that. He's going to get probably 18 carries or whatever. Yeah, I mean, the Bucs are hard to run on, and Sony doesn't have that pass catcher. I'd have to say, like, lower end running back, too.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is, yeah, go ahead.
We'll take out the mid part of that range and say probably in the running back 22 to 25 range.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is my guess is he will be slightly outside RB2 range for me. Like, okay. RB27 sounds right to me, just because he's not going to factor into the passing game whatsoever. So that is going to sort of keep him down, which again benefited Mike Davis today, who I think got 7 targets and caught all of them. So we'll see. But yeah, that's something to monitor, obviously. Meanwhile, it's time to buy this Cooper Kupp craziness, right? I mean, Kupp, 11 targets, 9 catches, 163 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Robert Woods, 9 targets, good, 5 catches, though. 64 yards. Tyler Higbee, by the way, only 1 target for whatever reason, 1 catch for 8 yards. So, I mean, just thoughts generally on the Rams passing game.
Yeah, I think at the beginning in draft season, to me, Kupp and Woods were like this far apart. And now I think it's, you know, major separation. Like, Stafford clearly feels a connection with Kupp. And, you know, Woods has been getting targets, but not really doing a lot with them. And he's never really been a big play guy. He doesn't have home run speed. Kupp looked fantastic today. And the Colts are a team that has a group of good cornerbacks. Like, they do not have any soft spots at cornerback. So it's not like Stafford was just finding a matchup he liked. He is into Kupp. This is a good sign if you have Cooper Kupp on your roster, because Stafford likes throwing to him.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I'm totally buying this nonsense. Like, I think it's ridiculous. And just like you, I had Woods ahead basically by the difference of the rushing ability, like the rushing yards that Woods was going to add, right, for the full season. That was the difference between him and Kupp. Receiving, they would have been identical almost. But yeah, it's not close anymore. Like, Kupp is a legit wide receiver one at this point. I have zero doubts. And maybe it's too early to make that. But yeah, I'm totally buying in. For the Colts, we talked about Pittman already. Zach Pascal catches the touchdown. Anything with Jonathan Taylor here? Tough matchup. 15 for 51 on the ground. Only 1 target, 1 catch for 2 yards through the air. They got Tennessee next. I mean, just a tough matchup. Write it off for Taylor.
Yeah, no concerns. And part of it, Dan, was like the stats look bad because he had that sequence early in the game where he had a really nice run to get them down to the 1 yard line, and then stuff. So, like, that was frustrating for the people with Taylor on their teams. I mean, that was just painful.
Yep. A lot of that did not look great as they approached the goal line this game, the Colts. Let's go to the Bills 35, Dolphins 0. Obviously, your injury update is Tua Tagovailoa did not fracture or break a rib, apparently, but he needs an MRI tomorrow. Maybe cartilage damage, who knows, but he was declared out. And who knows if we'll see him next week. Without him, it was ugly with Jacoby Brissett. Jalen Waddle is your leading receiver with 48 yards in a game that was a negative game script throughout. Devontae Parker, 42 yards. Miles Gaskin, 46 yards. So they've got the Raiders next, but assuming Tua is out, who on this team do you think you're going to recommend as a start with Jacoby Brissett as a quarterback?
Maybe Waddle, if Fuller is still out. But that kind of depends. I liked Waddle this week just because Parker was going to have the tough matchup against Tre'Davious White. And I thought with no Fuller, that might just sort of funnel things to Waddle. And he did get enough targets and catches, but they just, you know, he couldn't cash in on a big play. So maybe Waddle, just with the home run speed, that he's going to be involved and possibly he could break one. And, you know, like Brissett, the numbers look bad. I didn't think he looked awful considering that he was getting overrun. And I mean, these poor guys who come in, Dan, like not having any reps. I'll see, it's going to be like taking a test without, you know, reading any of the material in a class. You know, it's just, you're in a bad spot. And I don't think Brissett is terrible. We've seen him be a functional starting quarterback before. So like, I'm not going to totally bury all of his teammates just because he's playing quarterback.
And I think that your point is fair, by the way. I mean, I've got a bunch of TVs up right now. I told you I watched with my son, Will, like the whole day, which he loves. And so you can't pay attention every play of every game. But I agree that Brissett didn't like strike me as incompetent when he was out there right now, you know, in the game. It just, you know, looked a little rusty and he was getting overrun a little bit like that. So I do think that things could get better. And we talked about that you would start Waddle. That's just in the receiving game, right? I assume, would you still start Miles Gaskin here against the Raiders next week, even if it's Brissett?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Just to clarify, for the Bills, everyone kind of chips in here. Josh Allen, not great. 179 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns and a pick. He adds on the 35 yards rushing. Stephon Diggs, 4 for 60 with a touchdown. Devin Singletary looks good again, 13 for 82 and a touchdown, plus 2 catches for 9 yards. Zach Moss is active. He winds up scoring 2 touchdowns, both of them in garbage time. They've got Washington next. Let's talk about the running backs for a second. Moss is obviously active and he scored the 2 touchdowns. Again, they were late. So just generally speaking, how do you feel about both of them, and in particular, Singletary?
I found this frustrating for someone who wanted to like Singletary and was feeling pretty good about it after last week with Moss not active and Singletary pretty much being the main guy, because I think you need to have a main guy with the rushing touchdown potential. You lose to Josh Allen, who likes to call his own number close to the goal. So you really can't have running backs dividing work to feel good about the Buffalo backs at all. Like, it has to be one guy, and I thought we were there with Singletary. He breaks that nice long touchdown run at the beginning, everything looks fantastic, and then Moss gets the 2 short touchdowns, and all of a sudden I don't feel good about Singletary anymore. So I'm pretty much back to where we were at the start of the season here with these guys, Dan.
Yeah, it's annoying. I'm with you, because I did think that this could be something where things could really, you know, look good, and Singletary has looked good, but it's just impossible to sort of buy into it if Moss is going to be active. Let's get to the next game. Basically unwatchable. Patriots 25, Jets 6. Your only injury that I think I can remember is the injury to Zach Wilson's pride after he threw 4 interceptions, 3 of them, I think, in consecutive passes, unless I'm misremembering. But let's start with the Patriots. Ramondre Stevenson wasn't active here. Damian Harris, only 64 total yards in the score, but he basically carried the entire Jets offense, defense at one point. James White heavily involved here, 65 total yards, also a score. After that, your next leading receiver is Hunter Henry with 42 yards. So is any pass catcher on this team worth rostering for you, Pat?
They were just in a favorable game script all day. Like, they did not have to throw. It was really easy for Mac Jones to game manage this one. So I would say actually, yes. I could definitely see starting Jacoby Myers most weeks, like especially PPR. I mean, I think he's going to be involved. Ideally he's your like third wide receiver or a flex play for you. And you're not counting on him too heavily. You know, and then we can't anger Yates. I think Jonnu is still an option, of course. I mean, it's just the tight end drops off so severely. If you're one of the have-nots, I mean, you're happy to probably play Jonnu if, you know, you're one of the people who missed out on the tight ends musical chairs game.
Sure.
You know, if you can settle into a Jonnu seat before the music stops, I think you're okay. But for the most part, yeah, it's not a very prolific passing attack. But they will have days where they need to throw a little bit more than they did today.
And I will say that James White also, though, is somebody who, you know, I the way they're involving him, considering it's Mac Jones, he strikes me as someone, Pat, who I think might have, especially in PPR, of course, but I think I was a little too low on him coming in. I really wanted nothing to do with him. Of course, I thought Cam was going to be the quarterback for most of the, you know, draft season. But I think he's got a pretty solid carved out role here with Mac Jones in that he wants to be conservative. And he's not going to score the touchdown like he did every time here. But I do think that he's, especially in PPR guy, you can pretty much start as a flex every single week. For the Jets, Pat, we're supposed to feel okay with one person on the Jets. It is Corey Davis. And he had 5 targets and 2 catches for 8 yards. Braxton Berrios has 11 targets, 7 catches for 73 yards. Elijah Moore citing at least 8 targets, 4 catches for 47 yards. So what about Corey Davis? Felt like he was in the circle of trust after last week in the big preseason. Is he out of the circle of trust now?
Oh, I know. And I think I said on our show last week, Dan, that he was in the circle of trust. So that's,
I agree with you. I agree with you though. Yeah.
Yes, I know. Now he's very close to the perimeter of the circle of trust, and I don't know whether he's in or out right now. It's man, like what do we think? Like back end wide receiver 3, kind of.
Yes.
High end wide receiver 4. Yeah.
And I'm 36 sounds right to me, Pat. 36 right there. That's exactly what sounds right. Because I do think, look, the Patriots also, like, what do we know about Bill Belichick, right? What does everybody say? He's going to take away whatever you do best and force you to do something else. So he's going to take away Corey Davis, who's the only human being on this team that gets targets, the only one that Zach Wilson looks for. So I think that happens. I don't think it's going to be like that every time. They do get Denver next week in Denver. I don't really know if I'm going to really want any Jets in that game.
No,
but for the most part, I like rest of season, Pat. I bet when I finalize my rest of season rankings on Tuesday, it's going to be about wide receiver 36, which I think is fair. But I think both you and I maybe got a little too excited about him based on that preseason and that first game. The running game, meanwhile, I mean, Michael Carter, yay, left for dead by me, essentially 13 touches, 88 total yards. Ty Johnson, 12 for 50. Tevin Coleman, 5 for 24. Are you rostering any Jets running back?
Yeah, it's good to see the resuscitation of Michael Carter. So I kind of want him on my roster and hoping that he wins a bigger role. And Ty Johnson, I wouldn't mind as my running back 5 if there's enough room to cash in. I mean, I hate to say it, but it would maybe take an injury to either one of those guys to really pump up the value of the other. But it looks like at least those two have kind of left Tevin Coleman in the dust. So maybe we're a little bit closer to clear value somewhere here in this backfield.
Well, very excited to have Yates coming on to our live stream right here. Just tuned in to hear us talk about Jonnu Smith. Yates, thank you for joining us, which you can too here at youtube.com/fantasypros, where we are doing this live every single Sunday from 9 to 10 Eastern time. Let's go on to the Bears 20, Bengals 17. I knew Yates's, you know, ears must have been ringing when that's why he's here. Talk us about the Bears. Andy Dalton injures his knee early. It is Justin Fields, who doesn't look great. 6 for 13. 60 yards with the pick. He does add 31 yards on the ground. Let's assume Dalton is out here. What's just generally your thought on Fields, who a lot of guys were drafting and stashing, thinking that he could be, you know, if not a league winner, a real impact player going on later in the season?
Yeah, high-end quarterback 2 right now. I think we're not going to see a lot of passing efficiency, but there's some big play potential, and he's maybe going to be another. We're going to see the Jalen Hurts blueprint, I think, where he gets his value with running, and, you know, anything he can do through the air is a bonus. We're probably going to see a sub 60% completion percentage the first several weeks. But I mean, we've seen him laser some throws at Ohio State. Like, it's not like this guy's passing skills are remedial or anything. This dude can really sling it. So, and he's got a couple of quality receivers. So I'm excited about him. I've got a team where I've got Kirk Cousins and Justin Fields, and I'm hoping I'm going to be starting Justin Fields every week pretty soon here.
Yes. I think that the good thing that you can think about here is that, unlike with Jalen Hurts, the Bears went into this season probably certain that eventually Fields was going to take over in this as the quarterback. I don't think that the Eagles went in last year thinking that Jalen Hurts was going to be their quarterback at all last year. So he just kind of was thrown in there. And as Yates always pointed out from last year, is that a lot of his carries came on broken plays. They weren't designed runs. I think probably the Bears staff, not to give them too much credit, but probably have a game plan in mind for when Fields takes over as the starter, and they can implement that pretty well. Happens to be probably a little earlier than thought, but that's true. But what do you think about the wide receivers here now with him, Pat? I mean, Darnell Mooney was the leading receiver, 8 targets, 6 catches, 66 yards. Allen Robinson, only 4 targets, 2 catches, 24 yards, does have a touchdown. That was with Andy Dalton, I believe. So would you downgrade the wide receivers with Fields at quarterback, or you think he'll just, get on board eventually?
I don't necessarily downgrade the receivers, but I think that I maybe had Robinson ranked too high before the season because the two choices were either going to be a rookie quarterback or Andy Dalton. And to put him in the back end of wide receiver one range might have been a little bit optimistic. And, it's out of respect for Robinson. I think he's a terrific player. I think today was just sort of a fluke, and we see, all receivers have those kind of days. He'll have his good days with Fields at quarterback, but I don't know if he's more wide receiver two than wide receiver one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I've kind of ranked him so far that way. Generally speaking, I probably will continue to do that. Dave Montgomery, totally fine effort. 79 total yards for the Bengals. For most of this game, this was really, really ugly. Joe Burrow throws 3 picks. No, he was the one who threw it on 3 consecutive plays. I think I mixed up with Wilson, I think. In the end, he does throw 2 touchdowns, 1 to T. Higgins, who winds up with 6 catches for 60 yards, 1 to Jamar Chase, 2 catches for 54 yards. Meanwhile, Tyler Boyd is your leading receiver, 9 targets, 7 catches, 73 yards. Joe Mixon, another 21 touches. That's good. Just 71 yards. Again, this was a game, it unfolded, Pat, not dissimilar to what I thought it was going to unfold at, which is I thought you had the Bears at home who were going to be pumped up and ready to go, and we're going to kind of, get things ready here to make life difficult for Burrow and company. So just generally speaking, they've got Pittsburgh next. That's obviously another tough defense. Outlook, generally speaking, on the Bengals offense.
I am cautiously optimistic. I think they could have had a better day passing if they hadn't, quickly lost 3 possessions in the second half where, they just weren't able to hold the ball, weren't able to do anything. I thought they very easily could have had 300 passing yards today against a Bears secondary that isn't very good. And the thing is, Tyler Boyd is probably a guy who's just kind of on the outskirts of wide receiver 3 range. I was a little more optimistic for him coming in. Chase was a guy who people thought might ascend even wide receiver 1, high end wide receiver 2 range this year. And, he needed a big play at the end just to salvage his day, really. Higgins is the one guy I think is going to be a reliable wide receiver 2. I mean, he's just a really good player, and Burrow seems most comfortable with him. Mm-hmm. So, matchups like this next one, the tougher matchups you might want to steer away from, and he's got a bunch of them in his divisional games, unfortunately. That was kind of the reason I was sort of drafting around him this year. I didn't want to, there's so many minefields on his schedule automatically, and that sort of brings everything down. But, for the most part, it's I don't know. All of these guys are functional and could be played, but, they're some tough matchups that make it kind of tricky for you to start these guys with confidence.
All right, let's go to the Bucs 48, the Falcons 25. This is basically a good day for everyone who you wanted to start on the Bucs, with the exception of Antonio Brown. Brady throws for 276 and 5 touchdowns. 2 of them go to Mike Evans, 9 targets, 5 catches and 75 yards. 2 of them go to Rob Gronkowski. Again, 5 targets, 4 catches, 39 yards. 1 of them goes to Chris Godwin, 5 catches, 5 targets, 4 catches, 62 yards. And the Bucs defense with 2 pick sixes. So it's just really Brown who sees just 3 targets, 1 catch, 17 yards. Any concerns here? Is this just look, we've got so many options that there's probably going to be an odd man out at least once a game, or what?
That's pretty much it. And since Rob Gronkowski has been very heavily involved so far in every game, there has been one wide receiver sort of left out in the cold both weeks. Last week it was Evans. This week it was Antonio. I do think Godwin is asserting himself as the guy here. Like, I do think he is the most trustworthy of these guys. And there's probably going to be a game or two where he's the odd man left out. But I sense that it's going to be fewer and more far between with him than with the other two. So it's tough with Evans. Like, I think he's going to have to be pretty touchdown dependent. He got his touchdowns today. But if he doesn't get the touchdowns, like, I don't know if he's going to get the volume to really go over these other weeks. You know, like, he's not going to be a 150-yard guy like he was in the past with the Jameis Winston box.
Right.
I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, and he also left briefly this game with an injury, came back in, but that's also something. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think these games, I'm just going to, like you, write off, especially like you said, I did not plan in draft season for Rob Gronkowski to basically be catching two touchdowns every game or be this heavily involved. So it's something just you got to roll with as you get into it. Meanwhile, with the running game, Leonard Fournette, 11 for 52 on the ground, plus all four of his targets caught for 24 yards through the air. Ronald Jones, 6 for 27 on the ground, one catch for 9 yards through the air. Do you have an interest level in either one of them, in Fournette after this game or what?
Fournette, yes. I think he is the one guy in this backfield now. I thought it was going to be no one usable, frankly, Dan. And Fournette is the one guy I might feel okay about. I mean, Jones got the honorary start, but that was right about all it was. So, yeah, I think Rojo is the guy that you could probably get rid of if you needed to pick someone up this week. If he's on your roster, I think it would probably take an injury to someone for Jones to become playable.
I really look forward to Leonard Fournette doing something like incredibly dumb and then just getting benched for an entire game. And then, right, like, because that's where we're headed. I'm still avoiding them entirely. I agree with you, though, completely. I really have had no interest in rostering Ronald Jones. And I'm now at the point where, like, I'll roster Leonard Fournette. I will try not to start him, but I'll probably rank him most weeks as like a flex because you just have to. For the Falcons, I mean, Matt Ryan throws for 300 yards and two touchdowns. He does throw three picks, two of them pick sixes. One touchdown goes to Calvin Ridley, 10 targets, 7 catches, 63 yards. And the touchdown, Kyle Pitts is a fine game here. 6 targets, 5 catches, 73 yards. But let's talk about the running game because Mike Davis, again, 9 for 36 on the ground, 7 targets, catches all of them, just 25 yards through the air. But in half PPR, full PPR, like, you'll take that any day of the week. But Cordarrelle Patterson, only 7 for 11 on the ground, 6 targets, 5 catches, 58 through the air. He scores 2 touchdowns. So that's 16 opportunities for Davis, 13 for Patterson. I mean, Patterson's still available pretty much everywhere. He needs to be rostered, right?
Absolutely. He's going to be a popular pickup this week, Dan, and with good reason. And he's got juice. I mean, the guy's in his 30s now, and we've seen it his entire career in the return game. But he is actually pretty competent as a runner and pass catcher, too. And he does need to be picked up. That was the thing I think we knew all along. Well, I kind of knew why I thought Mike Davis was overvalued. People thought this guy had the backfield to himself. He was never good enough to have the backfield to himself. I mean, this is a career backup who's in his late 20s. So the idea that he was going to be this massive, ball carrier and have 300 plus carries, I just don't think that ever held water. And so Cordarrelle, it turns out, is a pretty good backfield partner. And the fact that he was able to do this in a really tough matchup points to some interesting days ahead for him.
Good time for me to remind everybody that Pat and I and Joe and Yates put together a waiver wire article where we all rank our best waiver wire pickups and we give advice on what we want to do. And again, the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast is a waiver wire podcast, which will drop tomorrow. And as one of the people who was basically like, I don't see anybody behind Mike Davis, I don't know what to do, I'm just rolling with it, I will probably be reassessing my outlook on that. Cardinals 34, Vikings 33, fantastic game just to watch here. Kyler Murray, 400 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, plus 2 interceptions, but he adds 31 yards and a score, whatever. I was actually back and forth. The game's going on right now. I don't know how it ends. I was going back and forth between Murray and Mahomes as my QB1 all week. I wound up going with Mahomes. I'm just going to imagine that that's probably the wrong choice. But regardless, he's amazing. Your leading receivers, though, Rondale Moore, my guy, 8 targets, 7 catches, 114 yards in the touchdown. Max Williams, all 7 of his targets for 94 yards. Christian Kirk, again, involved, 4 targets, 3 catches, 65 yards. DeAndre Hopkins gets the early touchdown, but just 4 targets, catches all of them for 54 yards. And AJ Green sighting, 6 targets, 3 catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, I don't know. Is it Rondale Moore time? Can we fully buy into it or what?
I think it is. I mean, I want to see what the snap counts look like. But then again, in week one, he was at like a 30-something percent snap share. But when he's on the field, they target him. Sometimes it doesn't matter if the snap share is big, if they are looking for you and they specifically want to get you the ball when you're on the field. And that seems to be the case with Rondale Moore right now. And
You have solved the equation. That's correct. Yes. That's right there. Go ahead.
Dan, this guy is electric. I mean, we saw it at Purdue. He is electric. I mean, he is just fast and great contact balance, and he's just so much fun. I mean, like, get him on your roster if you can. If he's still available.
I'm not taking early victory laps in any way, shape, or form. Rondale Moore, though, was the guy based on the preseason, right? Because you just saw that. I felt like you saw, like, regardless of where he was running, they had made an effort to want to get him the ball. Like you saw that they wanted, he fits this offense. They wanted the ball in his hands. And after week one, I remember it, you know, he had 68 yards, whatever. He played 20 snaps on the game, but look what he does in 20 snaps. When he gets more snaps than that, which he will earn, that the sky is the limit with this kid. So he is a guy who, again, you could draft, you could see how it looked first game, second game. And if it wasn't good, you could drop him and it looks brilliant. And I'm so excited about this. Yes. I'm really excited to see what we're going to get rest of season. Meanwhile, Chase Edmonds, 13 touches, 75 yards. James Conner is 8 for 26. Is there any reason to roster James Conner at this point other than as a handcuff to Chase Edmonds?
Yeah, and it's a little early for handcuff season too. So I don't think in most 12-team leagues that he needs to be rostered.
I agree with you. He's the better goal line back than Chase Edmonds, but it doesn't matter because the goal line back is Kyler Murray. So for just move on. For the Vikings, Dalvin Cook in and out of this game a little banged up as usual, but 24 touches, 148 yards, just incredible. Kirk Cousins, great game, throws for 244 yards, 3 touchdowns while adding on 35 yards rushing. Touchdowns again. I mean, look, Justin Jefferson, 6 for 65, Adam Thielen, 7 targets, 6 catches, 39 yards, a touchdown. KJ Osborne, we talked about him last week, Pat. You said, oh, are you buying this? And I was like, no, come on, man. I'm not getting anywhere near this. 6 targets, 5 catches, 91 yards. So are you interested now in Osborne after another big game?
Yeah, I mean, he is getting his share. Like, they're not throwing to their tight ends that much. I thought Tyler Conklin was maybe going to have a little bit bigger role, and not really. So now it's a three-branch passing tree in Minnesota, and Osborne is the third branch. So rosterable, I think, you know, especially in larger leagues, probably not a guy you can start on, you know, like count on to put in your starting lineup, you know, kind of did it a lot of it on a splash play today. There was more volume, I think, last week, but he's interesting enough and he actually looks pretty good. And that was sort of the report from camp that he had a really nice camp and just seized this third receiver role by the throat. And I think we're seeing why.
This is enough for me that I'm going to say he has to be rostered. Like, you don't have to start him, like you said, and it's probably boom or bust. He's more of a bye week filler, but he has to be rostered in pretty much every normal size league, like 10-team league, fine, whatever, 8-team league, whatever. But 12-team and deeper, he's got to be rostered. I agree with you completely. Titans 33, Seahawks 30, another great game. Taylor Luana surprised and active in this game after warmups. Anthony Firkser was out. Derrick Henry was bottled up a little bit in the beginning of the game. In like the first half, he winds up with 35 carries for 182 yards and 3 touchdowns. Oh, and by the way, 6 catches on 6 targets for 55 yards through the air. We know how good Henry is, but this is now 10 targets in 2 games. Now, I realize they've played from behind in both games, but do you think this is an anomaly or do you think that we can expect him to be worked in more in the passing game? In which case, like, hello, PPR leagues. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, running back 2 maybe, but I mean, is this an anomaly or not?
Oh, maybe not. I mean, everyone has this reverence for Arthur Smith, but he's gone and all of a sudden Derrick Henry is getting targets. Like, we like this, right? We're pretty excited about this. And this was the one reason I have been sort of off Derrick Henry, just because he was never involved as a pass catcher. And it is really nice to see. And this whole Tennessee offense, Dan, like early in this game, it looked clunky again. And it's like, oh man, this is just going to be a train wreck for these guys this season. And it was like all of a sudden they found themselves and things started clicking and they got back to the Ryan Tannehill sort of play action thing was working and the running game and just everything kind of clicked into place, except maybe AJ Brown.
Yeah. Anything to that, by the way, very quickly. I mean, 9 targets, 3 catches, 43 yards. I don't know if they are classified technically as drops, but those there were many plays that he should have made. And like AJ Brown makes those plays, big plays, by the way, important plays. It's good that they won the game, but are you concerned about this, or is this just, oh, well, bad game for AJ Brown?
I'm not. I'm just going to chalk it up to a slow start. I mean, we've seen this guy be too good and too high volume a performer to worry about a couple bad games. But yeah, it's for some reason he is just not quite he was just off today. It was a bad day for sure. But the offense as a whole though did look a lot better. Julio got involved. It was nice to see.
Yep. 7 targets, 6 catches, 128 yards. The almost touchdown. It was overturned, but he looked fantastic. And this is what I said, Pat, by the way, and it didn't look good early. And again, Luan being out really hurt. But I said I was throwing out most of what we saw last week because I really just thought it was the COVID issues that they hadn't practiced together and they would get it together after a week. And they did look much better. So I think you can expect a lot more. And again, not a huge fantasy day from Ryan Tannehill because he doesn't get the end zone, but he does have 347 yards through the air and 27 on the ground. So you will take that with all the throwing. Yes. For the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, 343 and two scores, one long one on a busted play to Freddie Swain. The other to Tyler Lockett, 11 targets, 8 catches, 178 yards, and a touchdown. Do you think we're past the inconsistencies that sort of plagued him last year?
Yes. Yes. He had that giant 200-yard, three-touchdown game, and after that, it was just this series of 40- and 50-yard days, like constantly. Yes, the Shane Waldron offense suits Tyler Lockett to a T, and it looks like it suits him a little bit better than it suits DK Metcalf today, who was having a hard time getting open against Christian Fulton from LSU, a nice big corner, one of the few guys who can, you know, bang a little bit with DK Metcalf on those contested catches. So it was definitely a Lockett day. And we also saw the long Swain completion. Like this Waldron thing and the occasional play action bombs, like it's all looking pretty good right now.
It is. It is. I hope they keep it up. Again, I've voiced my concerns over whether or not, you know, a loss or a bad game or something like that. And Pete Carroll just sort of takes over the entire thing and says, no, we're going to run the ball 45 times a game, but we'll have to see. Again, you mentioned Metcalf, not a great game, 11 targets, 6 catches, 53 yards. He was limping at one point late in the game, but yeah, might suit Lockett better, but I agree. I'm kind of over what we saw last year. I think we're going to see a monster really this year. Chris Carson, not a great game, by the way, 13 for 31, but he does find the end zone twice, nothing in the passing game, which was a little surprising to me. I don't really think there's anything to talk about. I mean, he'll get goal line carries and he'll be heavily involved. Just kind of a bad game in terms of like a yards per carry. Fair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cowboys 20, Chargers 17 last game here. For the Cowboys though, Pat, like let's talk about this for a second here. Zeke plays a lot of the snaps, 72%. Pollard is in on 35% because that's fine. Pollard 13 for 109 and a touchdown on the ground. 3 targets, catches all of them for 31 through the air. Zeke, 16 for 71 on the ground. He also finds the end zone. 2 targets, 2 catches, 26 yards through the air. So what is happening? Is Tony Pollard a weekly start? Or are you concerned about Zeke? Everything you're thinking right now about this Cowboys running back attack.
I'm not too concerned about Zeke because he actually still looks pretty good. Pollard looks terrific, but I don't know if you can quite trust him with the play volume. This does kind of take me back, Dan, as a Packer fan about 5 years ago when, do you remember the whole free Aaron Jones movements?
Of course, of course.
Yes, and it was, who was it blocking his way? Well, it was our friend Jamal Williams. Yep. And, of course, the play caller for all of this was Mike McCarthy, who... Mm-hmm. likes to use two backs. That's how Mike McCarthy rolls. He is not Jason Garrett, who is a monogamous running back user who loves to just hammer it to the same guy over and over and over again. That's not McCarthy's thing. So it's going to take a little bit of value away from Zeke, and it's going to make Pollard playable in spots. But right now, I just don't think we're getting enough volume with Pollard that we can trust it. He had what 40 some yards in week one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, had you had him in your lineup, you would have been disappointed. And had you had him this week, it would have been the magical week to have him there. But I don't think you can trust it right now. You're still rolling. Oh, sorry.
No.
You're still rolling with Zeke, of course, but this does kind of cap the upside a little bit.
I think that's the bigger point, right? Like, yeah. I mean, Pollard is fine. He's rostered everywhere. It's not like he's going to be a waiver wire pickup.
Sure.
But it caps his upside. Like, that's the bottom. And it, as you said, this is not like, why are they giving carries to this other guy when, you know, we could just, you know, have Zeke unleash? Like, Pollard looks great. Like, he deserves, you know, touches at this point right now. So it is what it is. And, it, you know, good for the Cowboys. They won the game anyway. But Dak, just 237 yards. CeeDee Lamb, 9 targets, 8 catches, 81 yards, plus 13-yard rush. No one else goes over 37 yards in this game. That includes Amari Cooper, 5 targets, 3 catches, 24 yards. He also gets banged up at the end of the game. I mean, Cooper came off a huge game last time. Any concerns about Cooper?
No. Okay. Like, as long as the injury reports are okay and he's fine, like, no concerns.
Austin Eckler looks more like Austin Eckler. 9 for 54 on the ground, 10 targets, 9 catches, 61 yards through the air. Yay! I mean, this looks like week one. I think we can agree, Pat, just kind of an anomaly with him getting no targets.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Involved again, and I think we might have to check him. I thought I read that someone said it looked like he might have gotten a concussion.
So he definitely left the game. He took a huge hit on a brilliant catch, like a one-armed catch, and he got crushed, and he was checked for concussion, but I'm almost positive he came back in the game.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so I think that's fine. Justin Herbert, 338 yards and a touchdown with 2 picks. Keenan Allen, 8 targets, 4 catches, 108 yards. Mike Williams, 10 targets, 7 catches, 91 yards. The touchdown. Are we completely buying in to Mike Williams? You're not allowed to say no. Just say yes.
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 Yes. No, it's great that we're seeing such a polarized passing game in, with the Chargers. Like, we saw guys like Guyton and some other peripheral guys come in, and we were maybe thinking that Josh Palmer was going to have a role this year. But no, like, it's all Williams, all Allen, maybe a little bit of Jared Cook and Eckler, but like,
yeah,
love that you can play both of these wide receivers with confidence every week.
Yeah. And I will say that Cook is way more involved than I expected him to be. And I think he's certainly on the streaming radar for sure. He was like off my board when we were coming in, but Mike Williams, absolutely, Pat. Like, this is, I love Mike Williams. Every year I've sort of been like, if everything breaks right, Mike Williams could be a Mike Williams type year. This is for real. So long as he can stay healthy, which has obviously always been an issue for him in the NFL. But if he does, whew, I love it. This is going to be so fantastic. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. I know we ran a little long. I don't care. We got to get through everything. I want to talk to my buddy Pat here. But thanks to Prize Picks. Remember, Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% deposit match for up to $100 from Prize Picks. Thanks also to Magic Spoon. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code FantasyPros at checkout to save $5 off your order. We will be back tomorrow morning talking about waiver wire pickups. Until then, enjoy your Sunday night football, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.